you know, you can check it out. That's saw it. All of you have been so good, and we want to thank you for your support and your interest. And this church is becoming a very wonderful, active, lively, faithful, and you keep witnessing. When someone is missing, ask them why and help them. They might just need a ride or need something, a little gas in their car. So you you encourage them and get active. You you're on Facebook or media, but you share it. Reach out to a friend or somebody. Tell them about this message. Because the scripture says that this message, this gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Okay? And when Jesus was leaving the earth, his last message in the book of Acts, right? But Acts chapter 1, where he preached, what was he preaching? The kingdom. When the disciples asked him, Lord, they were asking him that in what? Where do I want? Chapter 1, Acts. Yes, what does verse 6 says? When they therefore were come together, they, the disciples, asked him, Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, I could stay right there in that one verse and spend the rest of the service, because I could go back into the history of Israel under David and Solomon, even under King Saul, when Israel was a nation and David sat upon the throne of God, and he was a governing in Christ's stead, because his son Jesus Christ, who is to receive the kingdom and to rule on David's throne, was not born as a human, but later on, as you go through the history of Israel, you find that Jesus Christ not only became the son of Abraham, but he's also became the son of David. And he was born of a virgin. So he was born from a woman, and he is the seed of the woman that will bruise the government of Satan and establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. In the garden, the seed was promised that he would bruise the head of the serpent. See, the head of the serpent is the kingdoms that we found out that in you have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persian, the Grecian kingdom, Rome, and then we have the ten-toed kingdom. But we find out that one kingdom, there's another kingdom that is not of this earth. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this earth. It's not of this world. If it was, my servant would fight. But Jesus' kingdom is to be given to him by the Father. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And this is what Psalms 145 says. We will talk about this all during the millennium, all day. The glory of his kingdom in Psalms 145. They will speak of the, what verse is it? Psalms, read it. Psalms 145 verse 11 says, these that have, remember what he said, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob into the kingdom. And they'll be coming from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach out east, west, north, south, east, west, north, south to the ends of the earth with the message of the kingdom and the message of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the message of the resurrection. Because all of these messages go together. You cannot have one without the other one, because it takes the second coming of Christ to bring about the resurrection, the first resurrection. And then it takes the resurrection to establish the kingdom. Without the resurrection, the first resurrection, there would not be a kingdom. So blessed and holy is he. The Bible tells you in Revelations chapter 20, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. For you to have part in the first resurrection on such, the second death has no power. Now for you to have part in the first resurrection, it means that you're changed from mortal to immortality. You have now the nature of Christ. Not the nature of the first Adam, because there are two Adams. But now you have the nature of Christ, the second man or the last Adam. See, you have that nature. And blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. For to have part in the first resurrection, you're changed into immortality, where white robes is given unto you. And you have the nature of Christ. You are a new creature, a new creation. Okay, so you are blessed. And the second death has no power over you, because there is no resurrection from the second death. See, it's appointed unto man once to die. Yes, that's an appointment. But that's first death. That's not a death where your total being, your soul, dies. I know we have the teaching that your soul, body, soul, and spirit, everything goes. So Abraham is in the grave. Everybody's in the grave. But you got to understand now that God is putting on a kingdom that he's bringing about, and he's going to have that he's been working on. Micah said that he has been working it from everlasting. God has been working on a kingdom to establish a kingdom with beings like himself. See, creatures, new creatures. And he took them from the fall. We were fallen, and we had a fallen nature. See, but Christ came and he gave us a new nature. All right? Now, if you can understand what God is doing right now, that Mount Zion, Paul says, we've come to Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? And what do you do at Mount Zion? And when do you get to Mount Zion? An innumerable company of angels, messengers, angels. Angels doesn't only mean winged angels. You and I can be an angel to the angel of the seven churches in Asia. See, an angel, a messenger. And God is doing something at Zion, but it's another dispensation. It's another dimension that you move into, that you go from glory to glory. You don't go from natural to natural to natural. See, but you're going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. It's a spirit that's doing that work upon your inner man. So you have a new man inside of you, and it's called the last Adam. It's called a new creation man, and God endued it with immortality. See, sown in weakness, raised in power. See, God is working a tremendous work in our lives as we give our lives to the Lord, the corruption that you see there. And I don't want to get into a lot of stuff because it's very, it's argumentative situation, which we should not argue over. But you've got to understand that God is forming a government, and he's not waiting for the seventh trumpet to put that government together. It's from everlasting that God has been forming that government, with even the work that he was doing with Jesus Christ. Could not even go to the grave. He could not go to the cross without the approval of two witnesses. See, let every done not one witness, but two witnesses. And there was Elijah and Moses on the mountain right there approving, and Christ approving in the glory, not in this dimension, but they were in the glory, and they were approving is that, and make sure that everything from the law and the prophets were fulfilled, all of the requirement. What do you think they were doing up there, just appearing to Peter, James, and John? No, they were in eternal discussion, in so much that God was at the head of it. And when these young men butt in and begin to, they were not on that level. See, they were not. There was There was Peter, James, and John that was not on the level of Elijah and Moses. And they began to join in that conversation. And they came up with something, an idea. And they said, oh, Lord, it's good for us. You know how we run our mouth? It's good for us to be here. And let us make, oh, do you see that? Let us make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the scripture says they didn't know what they were talking about, not knowing what they were saying. See, and a lot of us, we don't even know what we're talking about. When we explain the resurrection and the doctrine of eternal salvation, or what God is doing from eternity and from everlasting. And we are explaining these things on the level of Peter, James, and John, not knowing what they were saying. But you go into another dimension and find there was Moses and there was Elijah. How did they get there? Moses and Elijah, was that just something that was a dream and it wasn't happening? Was it for real? Well, Peter brought it out, says, we were with him in the holy mountain. See, we were with him. And right there, somebody says, see there, the holy mountain. But where is that holy mountain? Where is the holy mountain? See, where were they that Peter saw? We were with him in the holy mountain. See, they saw a vision. And God has a way to just bring a vision with you. And you can, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But I knew a man that was caught up to the third heavens. So God has a way to appear to us and reveal things to us. He can reveal heavenly things to you, and your feet never leave the earth. God knows how to get a hold of our minds. See, so there they were in the holy mountain, and there was Elijah, and there was Moses with Christ, and they had the same body. They had the glory that was on Christ was shining upon Elijah and Moses, and so much that the disciples could not stand that glory. They fell asleep, I think it was, and the Lord, they heard a voice where the Lord says, this is my beloved son. Is that right? Hear ye him. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And when we look to Jesus for the answer, we're going to stay out of trouble. And we're going to be able to move forward into the things of God. All right. So we were on Blessed and Holy Z that has part in the first resurrection. For and such the second that has no power. That's in Revelations 20 verse 6. But here's what's going to happen now. Here's the reward. Here's the reward, because Christ is coming back and he's going to reward every man according to his work. But they shall be priests. Do you want to be a priest? They shall be priests of God and of Christ. And here's what you're going to do. The kingship, reign. Priest, king, priest. And they shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the millennium day. That's Acts chapter 17 and verse 31 says that God has appointed a day. That day is already appointed. It will not be one day early or one day late. That day is already appointed, just like it was appointed for Christ to go to the cross at the first advent. The second advent, he does not go to the cross, but he comes back riding Revelations 19. On a white horse to establish as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That feel like make you feel like shouting, eh? And what did I just say right there? Acts 17 verse 31 says, because the Father, that's God the Father. If you go in Daniel chapter 7 and all of these scriptures, God the Father has appointed a day. Revelations 4, Revelations 5, when the Lamb is brought to the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is the Father. And he's given a book. See? And then a little book was given to him. And that book is you remember under the law, when Joshua was told to write a book, and the kings of Israel were told to write a book of the law, that's the order how to govern the kingdom. And they should meditate and abide in that. Well, that little book, that's God's order for the millennium kingdom that God will give him, Revelations 10. He's going to give it to Jesus Christ. And when he put one foot on the sea and one on the land, God will give it to him, the kingdom. for 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ, when all things is subdued, and the last enemy, Revelations 20, that shall be destroyed, is dead. Then he will hand over, deliver that kingdom back to the Father, and then we will go on out into the eternal day. That's God's day. And Jesus will rule and reign with his Father. They'll never be separated, but they are one forever and forever. Okay? So, where was I? The king priest, that you reign. We were in Acts 17, verse 31. And because he had appointed. Notice, it's an appointment. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had, notice, ordained. He is already ordained for that day. He's already ordained to be the judge of quick and dead. He's already ordained that he should be the ruler and sit upon the throne of his father David, and to govern it, and to bring righteousness, and until the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth, as the water covers the sea. Eh? Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ is raised from the dead. Jesus Christ is not dead, but he's alive. He's alive forevermore. And then, what is he waiting for? He's at the right hand of God the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. Right? And the whom the heavens, Acts chapter 3, verse 21. We can skip over there quickly. I'm moving all over in the Bible today. Acts chapter 3, verse 21 says, whom, you remember how he went back? And the angels told the disciples that this same Jesus shall so return in like manner. Now, where is he? Stephen saw him at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. We said, receive my spirit. And he fell asleep. Now, Jesus is there at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So when the accuser accuses us, we have a mediator. We have one that making intercession for us at the right hand of God. Always. He never takes a break, but he's always there. In the presence, he appeared, Hebrews says, he appeared in the presence of God for us to represent us. So not only is he our Savior, our brother, but he is our representative in the presence of God. Amen? He represents the new creation in the presence of God. So when the accuser comes and the enemy comes in, well, like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up a standard against him. And you have greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So get me back there. We were the day is appointed that he will judge the world. That is the millennium day. That's Acts 3 now, the times of refreshing. Acts 3, verse 21. Whom the heavens, notice, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That means when that restitution, that means we're going back to the again Genesis, when everything is going to be regenerate, everything is going to be made new as it was before the fall. We're going back there because God is determined to have a kingdom. The fall did not change the purpose and plan of God. See, the fall did not stop God. God is right and scheduled. He never had to have to adjust his program. Because the scripture said, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. And God cannot be defeated. Amen? God cannot be defeated. So, he says the heavens must receive him until the times of refreshing. Matthew 19, we'll go there. Matthew 19, 28 says, calls it the times of refreshing. Okay, but here it says, until the times of restitution in Acts 3, of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, that's a long, that would keep you forever, because you got to go back from since the world began and find out that God has been speaking. See, God is not depending on just a little message today that a preacher gets up and he's telling you his own idea what God is and what God is going to do and what God thinks. God doesn't go by that. A lot of these messages, God doesn't even listen to them. See, God said away with that stuff, because you've got to go back to the Word of God. God wants a church like the Philadelphian church. God wants a church like the Church of Smyrna, who has a little strength, and they suffered a lot. But he said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. See, that's what God wants. God wants some faithful people that will hold on and never give up. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. Can God find those people? I said, yes, he can. Does God have those people? Yes, yes. Does he have those church? Yes, there's a few in Sardis that have not, few churches, few people somewhere around the world, all around the world, that God, they're not defiling their garments with the things of this world. See, but they love God more than money. They love God more than things. They love God more than anything else. But it goes on back to Acts. Said, whom the heavens, verse 21, must receive until Jesus is not gone to heaven forever. He's only there until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Boy, I'd love somebody to go and research that and begin to find out how much and what God has said through the holy prophets since the world began. Next verse says, for Moses truly has said unto the fathers, a prophet shall. Moses did his job in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 18. Moses spoke about it. For truly, he said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord our God raise up unto you of your brethren. This prophet for Jesus Christ. Acts tells us that also. This prophet is Jesus Christ. Like unto me, him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Remember what Mary says? Whatever he said, do it. When at the wedding, the water pots were empty, and you want to get, you run out of wine, you run out of joy, you run out of that refreshing Holy Spirit. The blood is there. The wine is there to wash you. The blood, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever he say unto you, do it. Anything he say unto you, don't ask question. Don't ask question, but do it. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And you have a little strength, but it must be preached in all the world as a witness. But thou hast a little strength. So when you have a little strength, what do? You rely on the Lord. Because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you begin to praise him and trust God. And like the little widow with the little oil or the meal. Amen. But make me a little cake first, said the holy prophet. Amen. Make me a little cake first. See, that's a secret. Make God a little cake first. Give something to God in your poverty. Not when you get rich or you got extra. That's no sacrifice. But when you sacrifice to God and give to the Lord with a joyful spirit, and you clap your hands and you love God, you know what's going to happen to you? That binding spell of the devil is going to be broken. And the enemy is going to be defeated. And you're going to have the joy. And you're going to build a church. A little church in a city that the devil cannot shake. Hey, you reach out and you evangelize and you love God and you get all excited. And come and see what the Lord has done for us. And how we reach here Monday and we reach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays. And what are we talking about? What are we planning? How to get this gospel of the kingdom, this message, this glorious message around the world. Why are we so excited? It's because of a knowledge of the word of God. Amen? So do whatever he say unto you. Verse 23 says that, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, that's Christ, you won't obey the word of God, here's what's going to happen, shall be destroyed from among the people. That's simple. If you don't hear it, you're going to be destroyed. So are you going to be in the kingdom? It's your choice. Here, blessed are your ears for the hear, and your eyes for the see. And then you ask God for an understanding heart. Amen? Ask God to make you understand. Say, Lord, I am slow. My heart is very slow, but I need understanding, Lord. Give me eyes that I might see you. Do you pray like that? Jesus, touch my lips, and I love you. It's like how Sister Rebecca was excited here this morning because there's a joy flowing between them, she and her husband, about the church. And they love God. They don't miss a Bible study hardly, and they're here. They are at their church, you see? That joy began to come into your heart, like Sister Anita this morning right there. You could see the joy. After her surgery, she misses church. And I look around, and Sister Pauline and others, that you're pushing this. I've seen you're just pushing, and you love the church, and all of you are. But come on, let's wake up and run the race that is set before us. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See? Verse, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. So that's why I say go through the Bible, and I read going all over the Bible, because we're finding out the words that the prophets spoke and the words that they spoke about the kingdom, this everlasting kingdom. You say, well, what about heaven? And I said, yes, what about heaven? I asked you the same question back, because if all your hope is just to fly away and walk up there in streets of gold, you're missing the mark. Because Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth in power and great glory. Amen. He's coming back here to rule this earth until this earth become, and again, Genesis, a paradise. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. Ye are the children. Remember now, but you are the children, are the offspring, the children of the prophets and of the covenant. The covenant or the testament. See, the covenant is the kingdom. A covenant, a testament. See, that God made, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed, that's Christ. Remember now, it didn't say seeds, but it said singular seed. Right? That means one. In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. All of us, tribes. God's no respecter of person. Hey, they shall be blessed. Unto you first, God, unto you first, that's the Jews, Israel. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. We have him. We have Jesus right now. He reached out from Israel to us, sent him to bless, in turning away every one of us from our iniquities. What a wonderful Savior. Hey? Hey? You who were dead, and I were dead in trespasses, Ephesians 2. Trespasses and sin. But what did he do? He quickens us. When he quickened us, what did he do? He raised you up out of that and delivered you. And David said, he delivers me from an horrible pit. You and I was in Psalms 40. We were in an horrible pit. You see, that's the pit of the fall. It doesn't mean a hole outside there. No, you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. We were buried. Can you know those thoughts? Don't try to remember them now. They're under the blood. But you remember those thoughts and those ideas and what comes out of our mouth? Eh? And if you don't watch it, it will still come out. See, our mouth was an open sepulcher, and unclean thoughts and all that came out of our mind. And we had no fear of God. But now look at us. We are washed. We are cleansed. We are sanctified. And we are delivered from the fall. Now the kingdom has a reward. Okay? When Christ returns at the second coming establishes the kingdom. The second coming of Jesus Christ must be, there must be a resurrection. It's called the first resurrection. Because there are two resurrections, the first resurrection and the final resurrection. The first resurrection is blessed. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. And the first resurrection begins at morning, in the morning. I think there's a scripture in Psalms chapter 40, if you can look there quickly. In Psalms chapter 40, about weeping may endure for a night. Can you find that for me? But joy cometh in the morning. Psalms chapter 30. Is it? Is it 30? Psalms chapter 30, I think it is. Where weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Do you find that? Where weeping, look in your little, yes, Psalms 30. For his anger, go up a little more. Go up to verse 1. Let's read, because it's beautiful. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me from the fall. Not only from my cancer, but when you're crying, we're crying right now, and he healed us from the fall, from destruction. O Lord, thou hast brought up, notice, my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The grave, the pit, you would not go down. God has kept you alive. Okay? Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Notice, in his favor is life. That's eternal life. Weeping. Blessed are those that weep, for they shall be comforted in the morning of the Lord's day. You're weeping now, but it will be over pretty soon. See, weeping may endure for a night. But what happened? But joy cometh in the morning. Now, weeping endure for a night. And somebody said, oh, it's just last night to this morning. But now, in the morning, I'm going to have joy. Oh, come, I'm still weeping. Because you're misunderstanding. This night is a period of man's day. And you go through sorrows. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're going through a valley. But rejoice, the mountain Zion is coming. We are walking through a valley, but we are heading to Mount Zion. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's eternal joy, everlasting joy, right? With joy, the redeemer of the Lord shall return. Return and come to Zion. Return from where? Return from where? See, we're going to return from the fall. Amen. We're going to return from the system. We're going to return from defeat. We're returning from that fallen nature. The redeemed, what did he redeem you from? From the first Adam, the nature. He translates us into the kingdom of God. So therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And we come to Zion. Where are we heading? Zion, and come to Mount Zion with what? With singing. An everlasting joy. We shall be upon our heads. Everlasting joy. Come on, church. Everlasting joy. Wake up and give the Lord the praise. Said, for weeping may endure for a night. But joy, somebody say joy. Joy cometh. When? The morning of the Lord's day. And it's a morning without cloud. Amen. That's the millennium day. That's the day of the Lord. But joy cometh in the morning, because this age is going out with night. Okay, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Isaiah tells you, hold it right there. Isaiah 21 says, watchman, watchman, what of the night? And it says, the night cometh. The night cometh, see? But the morning also is coming. Now we're going through the night period. But joy is coming in the morning. That's the morning of the Lord's day. So weeping may endure for a night, for this season right now of the human day, man's government, man's day, is weeping and sorrow. But there's a better day coming. There's a joyful day coming. There's a glorious day coming. There's coming a morning without clouds. Amen. No more sickness. No more dying. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. And behold, I will make all things new. Is that enough for you to rejoice and praise God about? And they will not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. There will be no one hungering or crying or thirsting. For the Lamb himself will be the light and the joy of that city. And he will lead us beside living fountain of water. What a Savior we have. The work of Jesus not only was on the cross, but in the millennium it continues leading us beside fountain of living water. And says that this joy that cometh in the morning. But we can have a little taste of it right now. See? Because in his favor is fullness of joy. And at his right hand pleasures for forevermore. Verse 6 says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall not be moved. Sometimes people, you know, begin to get blessed on the job. They get a little paycheck. Are you listening? They get a little paycheck and they get exalted. They don't feel they have to come to church. They feel that they have everything and they don't need God. In your prosperity, because you've got to be careful when you're getting blessed. You might sell a piece of real estate and you get a little extra money and you don't feel like. But that money is not going to save you or keep you. Right? In my prosperity, I said, oh, I shall never be moved. I'm fine. I've reached it. I've made it. And you begin to look down your bony nose at the church. And you think you're better than the church. You just look down and you look all funny. And you're looking at the church sideways and sneering. And look at you. Why didn't everybody bow down and worship you when you walk in? You got that spirit of pride. And you feel you're better than somebody. Because you might put a $10 extra in the offering. And you want to be pat on the back. And somebody talk about your little extra dollar. But what about the time when you didn't put nothing in? See, you want us to talk about that too? Eh? You want us to talk about when you didn't give nothing to the Lord? Eh? And many times it's more time you're not giving. Or when you begin to butchering the offering. You know, there's a lot of butchers in the offering. They cut it. And they know how to joint it. And said, I'm not giving it. But I'm going to give a piece, but I'm going to cut it. So you put on your mask and your little butchering knife. And before you know it, you take out your pen and you slice it. When it should be $100, you give, oh, let me see now. Oh, I'm going to do really good today. Let me give $25. And you walk out with $75 that belong to God. I got away with it. Woo, I'm going to pay my car payment. And before you know it, you didn't get away. That car, the engine burned out. And you see, you don't understand. God has a way to deal with every one of us. Amen. When it comes to God, it's the liberal soul that's made fat, and God will bless you, right? So, Lord, by thy favor, look at it. It's not your prosperity and how much you can, it's by the favor of God. By thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. That's your life. Are you listening now? God will build you up and make your mountain to stand strong. Your family, all your kids will stand strong. Your husband, your wife, your grandparents. Amen. When everybody else is dying, you look around and you are 70, but you're going on to 90. Huh? And you're still going. You're going on to 94. And nobody can kill you. And everybody's preparing. You know, it's amazing. And everybody's preparing for your funeral. They go to the undertaker. And they planned everything for your grave and when you're going to die. And and the amazing thing is that they die before you. See, they died before you. You know why? Because God can touch you. And he can make those squeaky bones. He can make those squeaky bones. Amen. begin to work right. You remember that arm that you couldn't reach out and touch anything? But God can just touch it. And that bone is in place. Hey, I can run to a truth and leap over a wall. God gives you favor. God blesses you with that job that you never thought you could ever have. You're not listening. God bless you and raise you up and help you and sustain you. And God give marrow to your bones. Remember, your bones dried out, but God put some marrows in it. And before you know it, you can bend over. Before, you couldn't do it because your cousin was killing you. Cousin Arthur was killing you. And you couldn't raise your hands or do nothing. Your arms, you couldn't write. You couldn't. But look at you right now. God's touching you. Hey, God brought you from a long way. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. If God ever turned his face from us, and we come here and we can't feel, God will be troubled. Oh, because trouble is coming. See, but we need the face and the favor of God. Amen. Amen. I cry to thee. That's what you do. Oh, Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. You go there, and nobody's with you, but you begin to cry out and tell God, oh, you need him. I need you, Lord. I need you every hour. I need you. Oh, blessed God, I need you. Have you ever done that? And with him alone, with you and Christ in your closet, in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Sound like I've been preaching all day? Amen. Praise God. I think I'll stop there. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. I'll stop.